Tuesday, not last Tuesday, but the week before, got a call in the afternoon about 5:30, and a brother that I'd been thinking about calling, inviting him to this meeting from Holly Hill, and so I was glad to look down and see who was calling me. So I answered the phone, and we chatted a little bit. He said, "Brother Carl, there's a couple of things I called you for." And he proceeded to tell me that his son David Rich had passed away that afternoon about, coroner said, about 1 o'clock. And apparently he died of a brain aneurysm, some blood coming out of his mouth and his nose, and those are usually quick. And so he's talking. He said, "Are you available?" I said, "Available for what?" I knew what he meant, but I just wanted to be sure I knew. And he said, "To do the funeral." And I said, "When?" He told me. It ended up being a little different than what we first planned, but I said, "I can make that work, but I'll have to fly to do it." When something like that happens, everything goes into high priority. You can't put those things off. That put a priority that everything centered around one thing, and that was David's family, his wife, his children, his dad, his stepmom, his one sister that's left, and his one brother that's left, and their families. So we got us a plane ticket. Cynthia Ann helped me, and we got a plane ticket. And we took off and went out there on Friday and come back late Monday. And there's pain, there's grief. Of course, I'm going through grief, and I'm very sensitive to that right now to try to help everybody I can that's suffering. It's been so painful to me, and of course, I'm an emotional individual anyway. But that's just one scene. There's literally thousands. Since we've started service, there's been probably 3,000 people died. The grief that is going along the country, around the world. And that puts into a priority that this person's dead. We center on that. We take care of the situation and help that person move on. I want to continue on the subject of priority tonight. I wasn't nowhere near through this morning, but I didn't know what I was going to do totally. So, until I prayed about it. Let's go to Mark, the 12th chapter. And the 28th verse, three verses here, Mark 12 and 28. It said one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he'd answer them well, ask him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answering him, "The first of all, he commanded, is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Now, one of the high priorities that you and I need to have in living for God is our love. We need to love God. And we don't need to do it just at the beginning of our experience, but we need to keep that fresh, fervent love all the way through to the very end. It needs to be a high priority. It doesn't need to be something that is just a might love or whatever. But when you go to get married and you take those vows, so to speak, and you start in living with a companion, to make that marriage work, there's got to be love. And that love, you have to work at that marriage. You can't just have a good marriage hit and miss. That's what the hit and miss is, the ones that hit into the courthouse and going down the divorce court, and they go on out the doors and they cause a lot of pain and suffering to any children that is there. So consequently, you have to work hard. Marriage is not an easy thing per se of just, you just put it on automatic and run by itself. No, you've got to work at it. You got to do that with God. You've got to do the same thing with the Lord. When you and I marry Him, when you and I take Him, when we take vows, so to speak, that I love you till death do us part, so to speak, and I love you and I want to love you, you've got to keep that love fervent. You've got to keep preaching out. You've got to keep that love in a situation whereby that when He calls and you answer, when He leads and you follow and so forth, that you're willing to do exactly what He wants you to do. And you can't do that with outside of love. You've got to have a fervent love whereby that when he says, I need you to do this or go here and do that, it may rake across the coals of every other thing. But again, this is the priority. See, our love sets it into place. I love my wife. She was a good companion. We had a wonderful marriage. But the bottom line was, she was still down here and God was up here. He was number one. There was a preacher one time got married. I named names. You'd know them probably. You'd know of them. You wouldn't know them. I didn't know them myself. And he got married. They were both saved, living for the Lord. And I don't know if he was preaching at the time or not, but he was later a great minister among us. So on their wedding night, he asked her a question. He said, who do you love the most, God or me? How do you think she answered him? She said, I love the Lord the most. He looked at her and he said, I want you to keep that away. The whole marriage and our marriage will be fine. You love him the most, then you love me the most. Our love me. And so how's our love tonight for the Lord? There has been many, many souls that have started out for God and started out and they were fervent and they were doing fine and so forth. But somewhere down the line, the devil come along and he cooled that love down. And he kept working on it and diminishing it and working on it and diminishing it. And he began to bring other things in and slipping this in and that in. And consequently, when they got on down the line, they found out that they didn't love God like they did at first. They left their first love. They walked away from it. Didn't say they lost their love, said they left their first love. That means that you and I do it ourselves. If you leave something and you know you leave something, that's one thing. If you lost something, you may not know you lose it at first. But if you flat, you know you left something. I take out a $20 bill, lay it on the altar and walk away, I know I left it there. But if I happen to be going along and that $20 bill slips out of my pocket and falls on the ground, I may go along for a while and not even realize what happened. And so consequently, the Lord wants us to keep our love fervent. Keep our love fervent. He said, love the Lord thy God with all. Not part of, not some of, but all our heart. And with all my soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, this is the first commandment. This is a high priority. This is what God set in place. If you'll love me with all your heart, everything else will fall into place. Everything else will be exactly what it ought to be. But you and I are going to have to keep our love fervent, bless your heart. So how's our love tonight? Did you say that your love has a high priority tonight? Jesus said right here, the first of all, the commandment is here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. This, in the Lord's perspective, in His list of priorities, this is ranking right at the top. This is the great, love God with all your heart. Because He knew that Israel had drifted off over and over and over. Of course, that plan and our plan is different, so to speak. But he knew that they hadn't loved God like they ought to love. They had brought their idols in, and it didn't take them very long to do it. Moses was on the mount. Here comes somebody in and start doing all this stuff, making this golden calf and so forth. Right away, they started drifting for their love. Is anything tonight beginning to cause you to look a little bit, cause you to think a little bit about something else? When a man loves a woman like you ought to, 50,000 women can walk by and he's got eyes for one lady. That's the one he's in love with. The same way the wife for husband. All kind of people can walk by. They can even flirt with them maybe or so forth. We was in a place one time, Rebecca and I don't know much about flirting. I don't know much about that stuff. I didn't consider myself ever a guy that flirted even when I was unsaved. And we was there and Becky was working with the family on homeschool and so forth. And this woman walked in. I wouldn't marry her if she was the last woman on earth. She didn't attract me at all. Never. There wasn't a thing about her attractive. And she walked in and she shot eyes at me. And Rebecca caught it. I caught it too. And I looked and I thought, is she making eyes at me? Is that a flirty look she's got? I didn't really know. That's what I thought. And so later Becky goes, Carl, did you see the way she looked at you? I said, I did, babe. What do you think about it? Well, I thought it was a flirty look. I said, I did too. But I said, if she was the last woman on earth, I wouldn't be interested in her. You know, wouldn't be interested. The bottom line is, when we love God with a fervent love, when we love God with all of our heart, listen, these saints can come walking by, they can flirt with us, so to speak, and we'll just keep right on going, praise God. We won't allow them to deter us. In 1 John 2, I believe it is here, let me look. No, it's 1 John 2, where it says here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, the pride of life, and not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God. Tonight, the will of God, the priority of God, is to love God with all our heart. Said, love not the world. Love not the world. How many people have you seen that has begun to love the world and got in trouble with God? They might have a profession, but they don't have the power anymore. They don't have what they once had. Those that are loving God with all of their heart is the ones that have the power. The ones that's moving on for God. The ones that do it everything the Lord would want them to do. And consequently, they've allowed the devil to come in and ease and get their attention somehow. It got to flirting with them and they wasn't loving the Lord enough and begin to get their attention, their attraction. They begin to look at it. Well, that really, you know, that's not such a bad thing. I think I can do that a little bit. What do you think about that, dear? Well, no, it don't look so bad. Well, why don't we go do that a little bit? We'll just play around with it. What happens, husbands, no, wives, if a lady comes by and begins to get your attention of your husband and you see him begin to do things, what would you do? No, let's go it backwards. Let's make it the husband and the wife. I know a case. And this case was, well, this is a true happening. I'm not making this up. I knew something was wrong with this lady, this saint, this sister. And so when I was gone, off taking care of some, doing some things, work, whatever, Becky went to her and she said, what's wrong? We knew something was wrong with her. Well, there was a lady that was flirting with her husband. And a wife had said something to him about it. And he didn't listen to her. She was still that other woman. And that wife was not a happy camper. She would not. She was upset. She's a beautiful woman. The woman that was doing the flirting with the husband to me wasn't anything to look at. I've never figured out why he'd even want to look at her over what he had. It didn't make no sense to me. But I'm going to tell you, the devil can make things, even though something is not as attractive in a sense, the devil can put pretties on it, and we may want to do it anyway, bless your heart. Well, anyway, it had her upset. And one time I said something to her, and she looked at me, and she said, I hope I can make it, brother. I hope I can make it. I hope I can pull through this. Well, she did make it. She did make it. She's still living for the Lord today. But it was a pull on her because of what her husband was doing. Listen, it hurt her. It upset her. How do you think the Lord feels if the devil brings something by and it flirts with us, so to speak, and we start looking at it and say, that sure is pretty. I kind of like that. You got to look at it from different angles and think about it. And why, you know, honey, that wouldn't be such a bad thing. Why don't we go do that? Maybe just kind of, just a little bit, you know, not anything major. The devil just works by degrees. He can't, I can smoke, walk by every smoke shop in Shawnee. I can walk by every beer joint in Shawnee. They won't affect me at all. But there is some things the devil can bring along that could get my attention a little bit. There's things that could bother me. There's other things, just like you, there's things that nothing would affect you at all. But there is some things that would. But what will help handle that is the love that we have for God. That's why the Lord said, love the Lord with all your heart. Not part of it. This glass is not totally full. If our love gets down like the water in this glass, the bottom line is the devil's going to have a little bit of room to work with. We've got to keep our love fervent. We've got to keep it at the top full in the place that it ought to be, because if we don't, the devil's going to have some room to work. So where's your love at tonight? Is our love for God a top priority? It is for the Lord. What about us? Are we saying, yes, I love God with all my heart tonight? I do. Said, love not the world. What's the world done for you? How much good has it really done for you and I? Well, it's done a lot for me. You should see what I live in. You should see my bank account. You ought to see the cars I drive. Well, there's legal things out there. But the bottom line, the world does not do for us what God does. Number one, God created us. Number two, God blesses us. Number three, if it wasn't for God's blessings, you and I wouldn't be here. I'd be out in sin somewhere. I'd be caught up in a mess. So the bottom line is God's love and everything He does for us far outweighs what the world does for us. Far outweighs what He does. In my journey of grief and everything I've gone through since my wife died, the bottom line is God has been wonderful. He has been wonderful for me. I can't discount that in any way. He has been for there for this old grieving man. Because many, many times that person that's lost that loved one is in grief and nobody else knows about it but God. It's been times that I've needed somebody to call me or talk to me. And God knew that I was crying and wailing and sobbing. And He called somebody to call me just like that. One time, it was right on the 4 of the 5 month day, the 21st at 1:15, and I'm thinking, this is not going to be easy. And I'm on a job, and I'm thinking about it. I thought it'd be so nice if somebody would call me, and a minister called me right at the perfect time. I didn't ask him to call. He just called. The Lord caused him to do that. The Lord loves us. He loves us. So love the Lord with all your heart. Don't love the world. Say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm going to tell you the love, if we start loving the world, it's going to start affecting us spiritually. It will start giving us problems. Love the Lord. Love the Lord with all of our heart. Are we doing that tonight? Where is our love at concerning God? If you put it on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rank it? Would it be a number 10? Would it be a number 1? Would it be a 5, 6, 4, or 3? Or 2 or 1? 8 or 9? Where would it be? Love the Lord with all your heart. This is God's priority for you, but this ought to be our high priority for ourselves. We ought to mark this. This needs to be right up here at the very top. Love God. And love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these. None other. These commandments rank high in the mind of the Lord. Let's go to Matthew 23. Priority. Priority. How is our priorities tonight? Every one of us can have priorities. Even children, whether I want to play first and do homework later. How many of you have had your children tell you that? I used to tell mom that. You know what she told me? She'd get over there and get your homework done, then you can play. Do the homework first. That's a priority, child. You can go out there and play Tarzan later. Right now, the priority is do your homework. I want that mathematician done. I want that English done. I want all of that done right. So it's good for you and I, parents, to teach our children what is a proper priority at a young age. Homework is proper priority. Have them do that. You and I have priorities every day. But as you well know, you can set things up and they can change with a phone call, an email, or a text message, or a visit. Somebody told me the other day that they was a minister. He was getting ready to go do something. And he had asked me to come help him. And I just flat couldn't do it. And so he told me, he said, well, this person come by and said, I had to stay. Wife and I had to stay and help them. And he said, so instead of getting done with that job that he was going to do at, say, 11 or 12 at night, he worked at 2 in the morning. Because they changed his priorities a little bit, see. And we set them, usually a lot of times you can set priorities in the morning. And even that can change. Or something else can have a priority. Priorities on the natural side's job, work, business, family, eating, us eating, appointments, shopping for women, buying something in particular, make a deposit and pay bills. Some people go to town to pay bills and so forth. A lot of people anymore pay them online. Most of mine is paid automatically out of my account. Take care of an email, visit somebody, take care of children, help someone, call someone. There's so many things that can be a priority and then work everything down from that point. But then on the spiritual side, you and I need to have priorities. What should be one of the highest priorities on our list? Prayer, reading. That ought to be one of the top things of the day. Read good spiritual tracts, books, etc. Go to meetings, go to revivals, go to camp meetings, fasting, giving, encouraging someone, giving out tracts, books, etc. Call to check on people, visit people, invite people to the meeting. How many people have you invited to this meeting? Invite people to revivals, work for God. Those are things that ought to be a priority for you and I. Now then, you and I can have, in a sense, we have somewhat of a control over at least part of our priorities. You might not have one. In other words, like I said, when David Rich died last weekend, or a little over the weekend, that set a priority over everything else. But his dad owns and his brother owns quite a large business in Orangeburg, South Carolina. That business still had to go on. They didn't just close it up and say, well, David's died and we're not going to do anything today. They had to do, they had to have the priority that to get me there, to take care of me, to get the funeral plans made. We were working, we were talking, we were calling and so forth. That had to all be set. But that business still had to operate. The men that were there under Joe and Brother KC, they still had to operate that business and keep things going, even though Joe was taking care of brother, me and family and so forth. Or not Brother Joe, but Brother KC was taking care of us because there is priorities. We have somewhat of a control over our priorities. Are we doing our priorities the way the Lord would have them to be? The Lord has His priorities. He has them set. And that's what I want to deal with in this message. That I want to stir us up to the fact that our priorities and the Lord's priorities work together. He's got priorities. He's got priorities for you and I to do. Like I said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and so forth. That's a priority. And there's other things that you and I need to worry about. Matthew 23:23. And going there. There's people that, I don't know, there's ways to do what the Lord would have us to do. He tells us in His Word, and some people get so messed up on this stuff. 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and come and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Right here in the first scripture is priorities. He said, you're doing this, but I'm saying the real priorities is this right here. It's not that over there. You leave the one undone and so forth. These ought you have done, not to leave the other undone. And said, you blind guides, restrain that, swallow a kennel. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within are full of dead man's bones and full of uncleanness, all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your prophets, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Jesus didn't spare anything right here, did he? You know why? Because this was a religious batch that had all their professions and all their laws and rites and ceremonies and all that. And like he said right here, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, you do these. But yet the bottom line is you keep the law, you keep all the rites, you keep all the ceremonies just perfect. But you're omitting the weightier. You're omitting the things that really amount, that really count, that God is interested, that I want you to do. You're omitting the great things. You're omitting those things. And you're taking care of the things that don't amount to anything. Listen, when we get to God, when we stand before Christ, the end of every man's life is God. And I had a type of vision. I was in Myrtle, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And I was there and I was praying and down and kneeling and praying. And I saw Christ stand there and he had a big kind of banner. You know how these Val Victorians and all how these big banners come down and says Val Victorian. He said right on that said the word. You know, some people want to say, well, I can change the word. I can leave it out. I can put it in. I can do whatever I want to do. And the Bible condemns that. But they want to do that. Well, I can just do this, that, and the other. But the bottom line is when we get to the end, the one we're going to meet is the word. We're going to meet the Word. It's not only Christ, but it's the Word. It's this right here. We're going to meet Him. We're going to deal with Him. And everything that He has enlightened us and dealt with us on, if we're not doing it and done exactly the way He wants it done, when we get there, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble. We're going to meet a holy God, a holy Christ. We're going to meet Him face to face. So he goes on down in here and he says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter. Now sisters, you do most of the dishwashing. Do you just wash the outside of every plate, dish, cup? Just wash that and make that look so good, but you leave the inside just all dirty and filthy? What would your husband do if he used to do that? You set that plate on that table and it's got mustard and ketchup and all eggs left over and grits and oats and all that stuff just laying in the inside. It don't look good, it don't smell good, and it's not enticing at all. And you set it down there and you want him to eat out of it. Would he do it? I'd have politely handed mine back to Rebecca and said, here, dear, clean this plate for me. Or I'd have got up and done it myself, one or the other. I wouldn't eat out of that, and you wouldn't either. You didn't do it right, see? You didn't do it right. The Lord told us how to do it. You clean the outside. You make everything look so good outside. There is people that are making themselves look so good. People that I could call names that you know that are so not worldly, but are so caught up in the dress and in everything that concerns the outward man. But yet on the bottom line, they're full of sin. They're full of hate and envy and jealousy and these kind of things. They are full of that kind of stuff. But the outside, they really make some people look bad. Because they dress so perfect. Do so perfect. I'm not against the outward man as far as dressing right, but I got news for you. The bottom line is the soul is what's going to meet God. And we need to worry about the inside. We need to worry about envy and jealousy and malice and all these kind of things. We need to have our priorities where that when we see these things start to crop up, if there's any things that come in line. When Rebecca started into her nervous breakdown in 07, there was about 2 or 3 sisters that she had some problems with. And things hadn't worked just quite right. And she told me, she said, Carl, it's not worth it. I need my healing. And I don't know that Becky was guilty in all this, and I'm not just taking that for my sweetheart, but the bottom line was there's always two sides to every story, but she decided that I'm going to try to do everything I can to get everything just as perfect as I can get it. I want healing. That thing was so hard on her. I have never worked with anything that is worse than a nervous breakdown. Even what killed her wasn't close to that nervous breakdown. Wasn't close to it. Because it got so mental. And she would come to me and she would be sobbing. She said, well, I'll ever be normal again. Ever be normal again. Will it ever, Carl, I'll ever be normal. Her mind gave her so much trouble. One night when she's sitting on the side of the bed, she's sitting there and I was on the phone to another minister and talking to them and Rebecca started going, I'm losing my mind. I said, pray right now. I told that preacher to pray. I went over and I just laid Becky, so to speak, down on the bed and I dropped on my knees and started praying. Lord, have mercy and help us here. There are some priorities. And those priorities is that you need to take care of everything for the inside. You need to worry about the inside. I need to worry about the inside. He's putting the priority here on the inside. It's not the outside that needs to look beautiful. It's the inside. It's a holiness. It's a godliness. It's everything the Lord would have it to be. Because without that, folks, we will not see Him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We've got to be holy. We've got to be righteous. Rebecca was interested in having everything just as perfect as she could get it with these three sisters and having everything where it ought to be. She said, Carl, I want healing, sweetheart. That's what I'm after. When we get desperate enough, we'll do whatever we got to do to get it. And oh, she was after that. Are we desperate enough to be sure that the inside of the platter is clean? Said that blind Pharisee, these were religious people he was dealing with, cleanse first that was within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. When we get a good dose of salvation, we get everything where it ought to be. The outside will take care of itself usually. There's no problem. They'll start measuring up, they'll do whatever because this is right. The Lord has it where He can deal with it. When we are saved and sanctified, or even just saved and starting out a babe in Christ, when we have that life, when we have that touch, when we have that seed within us and everything is going fine, we're willing to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you've got a love between you and God and He loves you and you love Him and you're saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? And you're willing to do anything that He'd ask you to do. So God's willing, He says, well, let's do this, let's do that. You just start doing it. The outside will come when the inside is right. So get the inside. This is Jesus' priority. This is not just any priority. This is God's priority. Get the inside of the cleanse that which is within the cup and the platter. Cleanse that first. Cleanse it first. Listen, Pharisees and hypocrites, all you religious people around here, you Jews and so forth, let's get this thing right. Let's do it the way that God would have it to be. I know it ain't been taught maybe that way, but now then we've got a new dispensation coming in, the dispensation of grace, and consequently we need to do it the way God wants it done. And that's what I'm telling you to do. Lay all that stuff down and get Jesus and get Him fully and big in your soul. And then you'll be able to move on. Cleanse the inside. Wash the inside. Make it look good. In the sight of God. And be so concerned. Be so a priority. This is what I need. I'm wanting everything God would have me to be. You get a person hungry for God. You get a person reaching out for God. You get a person that got the priorities the way that God would have them to be. And God don't have any problems. You don't have any problems. Like you're just following the Lord. You're doing everything He wants you to do because you get your priorities in the right lane. You'll lay down things, change things, and do things. It's just like when a person gets married. They're all eyes and everything to that companion. They're enjoying married life. They're enjoying being with that person. I was teasing somebody the other night. I said, you need to have that young person quit talking on the phone so much. They let me know I ain't going to do that. But I remember my wife, I want to talk to her all the time before they were married. And they were getting in the courtship's over. I want to talk to them all the time. I said, that's all right. I'm just teasing a little bit. But the bottom line is they've got eyes, they've got interest. When we've got it for God, everything will flow right. Priority. The Lord said, cleanse first. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is in the cup and the platter. Professional cleaning. When you go to clean things, sometimes you can do it very easily. Sometimes it takes a little bit harder, a little bit tougher, a little bit stronger. And then sometimes it even goes stronger than that. Sometimes you've got to clean it once and check in. If that ain't it, you got to go. You got to determine what needs to be done and go after it again. When you and I come to God, the blood of Jesus is able to wash away any sin, to cleanse anything. He doesn't have to pull out the fourth detergent, so to speak. That blood is powerful as it is. He'd do anything he wants to do, just watch. All he needs is you and I to present ourselves. Lord, forgive me. It said, repent ye and believe the gospel. It said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's what he tells us. That's what we must do to start with. That's our priority, is to come to him and repent and give ourselves to him and let him wash us clean. My peers consider me a pretty decent gender. But God is the greatest of all cleaning. There's not anything he can't cleanse. There's not anything he can't work with. There's not anything he can't help. It's all we got to do is bring it to him. I have to have sensitive hands. Some people's hands are real calloused and so forth. I don't need calloused hands. I need sensitive hands because I've got to be able to go across tops and cabinets and or cabinet tops and so forth, and the granite tops or the formica tops, and I've got to have it where I can feel the minutest little piece that's on there. And if I feel something when I'm cleaning, then I get it all dried off and I get out and I look and I say, what is on there? What is that? And then I've got to take my brain and figure out what I need. This is not clean at all. What do I need to do? The Lord's got the most sensitive touches. And He'll work with us. And if you and I will just present it to Him, say, Lord, I need this. There was a young lady a number of years ago that came to the altar. The old general. And Sister Verna, I believe, was the two that dealt with her. Maybe another sister come and join Brother Salmon, Sister Salmon. Anyway, this sister told them, there is something in there, and I need the Lord to help me. Well, first, Brother Salmon, he didn't quite get the picture somehow, and so he kind of downplayed it a little bit. But she was insistent, I've got something in there. Now, Brother Simmons was sharp. I'm not downplaying him. I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying somehow this particular time he didn't fully get the picture when she was explaining it. But she was insistent, I need help. And he's thinking, you don't need no help. You're a saint. I need it, Brother Simmons. I need it. And she said, when they went to prayer, he got a vision. And that vision was that girl's heart. And back up under, in a flap under there, was some dust and some dirt. Nobody would see it, but she knew it was there. The Lord knew it was there. And so consequently, he said that he saw the blood come flowing down and worked around and went up under that flap and washed all of that out and washed it clean. And when it done, she was shouting, so to speak. She was blessed. He saw it. Oh, the Lord is sensitive. It's all we have to do is give it to him and say, Lord, I want you to clean this. I want you to wash this. I don't have Holmes walk up to me and say, I want you to clean me up. I have the owner say, I need you to do this. I'm going to tell you, we need to take these houses or place, so to speak, and bring them to God and say, Lord, whatever I need, do it. Praise God. I want to be clean. I want to be pure. I want to be holy. I want to be exactly what the Lord wants me to be. One of you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within, full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. He had to deal with that stuff. He had dealt with all those high officials and so forth, and the Jews and scribes and Pharisees, all those big men and so forth, the ones that killed him in the end. He had to deal with all that. He just put it where the end, you're full of dead man's bones. You outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Oh, Jesus knows exactly where the hypocrisy is at. He knows exactly where the iniquity is at. There is people that have fooled people for years, but we don't fool God. I told a man one time, I said, you can pull something over my eyes, but you cannot pull the wool over God's eyes. You can't do that. Him and his wife had separated, and I got word that he had brought a little lady in, and he had a big trailer, and he had put her on one end and him on the other. And I went to him and I said, "What are you doing?" "Well, I've got her down here, and I'm down there." I said, "I'm no fool. How long do you think that's going to last before you end up meeting in the middle somewhere?" "Oh, well, no, Carl." "Well," I said, "wait a minute, LC. I'm no fool. I wasn't even married at that time, but I was old enough to know what was going on." And I said, "You're not going to stay that way. She needs to go." I said, "You can pull the wool over my eyes. You can do all you want to, LC, but," I said, "you can't fool God." He didn't. End up just like I said. And if I'm not mistaken, they end up getting married. They shacked up a while together first. And so consequently, people can fool people. You might fool the pastor. You might fool the congregation. You might fool the whole church of God. But you can't fool God. You can't fool Him. You can't pull the wool over His eyes. He looks on the interior. He looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. He knows what's in there. He knows that dust back up under that flap. He knows what is there. He knows how to clean it. But He's got to have you say, "I need your help, Lord. I need you. I want you." Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8. Priority. Cleanse the inside first, and everything else will be where it ought to be. Oh, there's people get this thing upside down and backwards too many times. There are so many religions out there that have got this thing every way but the right way. And they need to get it right. They need to have the right priorities. All right, 2 Corinthians 8, 5. "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love also, of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." Now he says here, "And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord." I mentioned something this morning. It's in Luke, the 12th chapter, and the 49th verse. I want to turn there. Luke 12 and 49. Then I want to read you a translation on it. 12 and 49. Here it says, "I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it already be kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it be accomplished." How am I straitened till it be accomplished? I've got a baptism. I've got a fire. I've got glory. I've got everything mankind needs. I want to get this done. I want to get this accomplished. Alright, here's what it says in the translation. "I am come to send fire on the earth to set the world on fire. And what will I if it already be kindled, if it were already started? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened, how I am pent up, how strained I feel till it be accomplished, till that has been achieved." In Luke 24 and 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." One of the great priorities of Christ, and one of the priorities you and I need to have, is sanctification. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. This should be one of the number one. What was it when Christ, after He went back, and the apostles had the day of Pentecost, and they were full with the Holy Ghost, what was one of the greatest things, what was the thing that they pressed on more than anything else? Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? That's what they went after. That's what Cornelius says. The others, have you had this? Have you been baptized with the fire, with the power, with the glory? Do you have it? Well, we know much has heard of baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've heard of John's baptism, but we don't know what you're even talking about. Well, he's got something. The Lord Himself was pent up. He was looking. He was waiting. He was accomplishing what He had. But the bottom line was, He couldn't wait, so to speak, to get it all over with, where He could go to glory and send the Holy Ghost down to give you and I power whereby we could do everything God would have us to be. He knew Peter was going to be thrown in the jail. He knew the apostles were going to meet up with them. He knew they had to have power. He knew they had to be filled with the glory and the workings of the Spirit of God, whereby they could do everything the Lord wanted them to do. He knew that. And he was straightened. He was pent up. I need to get this accomplished. It's something that is a priority. The Holy Ghost. The general was one of the greatest sanctification preachers among us I've ever seen. He had a burden about it. And he worked with it and he preached it over and over and over. And I probably heard him preach in my time as much or more than most people. Because we worked together quite a bit. And that was his burden. But you know what has happened since he died? Have you looked at it? Have you examined it? Do you know what has happened to the Church of God since Brother Mark Sammons died? And this message has not been preached like he used to preach it and like the Lord used to bring it out. The consecration among us has gone down. Amen. I'm just telling it like it is. I just put it on the table and tell you like it is. The bottom line is there is too many people drifting and doing things that they shouldn't be doing, because the bottom line is this type of work has not been cried out as much. There's a minister got up in Monarch a year ago, not this past Monarch, but a year ago, and he laid one out one night. I mean, really good. And I went to him and I said, I appreciate your burden. I'd also heard him do some more. He'd done it. He had had a meeting in Shawnee just before that summer. And he preached it, I think, one night at Guthrie. I must have missed that. I wasn't there for some reason. But he had this burden, just a lot like Brother Salmon's had. Listen, folks, we need to get back to this burden. The priority of God and of Christ is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the number one. Jesus Himself was wanting it done. He saw it. He saw what we needed. And He was setting it in place where we could have it, praise God. And He still wants that to be accomplished. People need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with power, with glory. They need the glory, they need the power, they need the comfort, they need the strength. They need everything to live for God. Listen, folks, we're in the most carnal, we're in the most horrible world that's ever been since the creation of time. And if we don't need it today, folks, we need it worse than it's ever been. Pastors, they need to cry it out. And evangelists, they need to cry it out. You need this. You've got to have this. This is the number one priority, so to speak, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Have that. Be filled with. Carry you into Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high, he said. That's what Jesus said. He said, be that. Oh, he said there in Luke, he's branding on 2 Corinthians there, they gave themselves. They made it a priority. They gave themselves to the Lord. They gave themselves. Have you give yourself? Have you made this a priority to be filled with the Spirit? Do you have everything the Lord wants you to have? Have you given? Have you surrendered? Have you turned loose? Have you put it all on the altar? Are you filled in every way that the Lord would have you to be filled with the Spirit of God? Have you got everything consecrated to God? Some people want to put so much on there and hold the rest. You just need to put it all on there and give it to Him. Say, here it is, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill me. I want that power. I want that glory. We need that today, folks. This is not something to play with. This is not something to just Mickey Mouse around with. This needs to be something that is a top priority among the whole Church of God. Not just Green Bank, Shawnee, Guthrie, Louisiana, Springfield or whatever. This needs to be the priority of the whole church. Every minister among us needs to get fired up on this point and let it be known this is a top priority. All the apostles had it, and brethren, we need to have it too. And not only the ministers need to have it, but the saints themselves need to see that I need to live this life. I need to have this power. I need to have this authority with God and so forth, where I can live above sin, where I can do everything the Lord would have me to be, because this is a priority with Jesus, and it needs to be my priority also. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us. Do we have that same priority the Lord has? He wants us to have the priority whereby that we're living the life before everybody. Not just the congregation, but when we're going up and down the street. There was a man one time that I worked with. Craig was off on a vacation, and I was helping this Morgan's Body Shop many years ago. And working with this guy, and he told me, he said, I've known a lot of religious people. And he said, they would live this and live that and so forth, but he said they just didn't have it. And he pitched them into what I call the hypocrite trash can. He had pitched this one. He'd talk about this and pitch him in. He'd talk about this and pitch him in. He'd talk about that and pitch him in. Well, most of them I didn't know. And then one day he mentioned the saint's name. I thought, whoo. Now what's he going to do? And he had utmost confidence in this man. And I knew the man. I had worked with him, so to speak. I'd been in his home. I preached to him. And so he'd come down many times to hear us in services in a certain congregation where Becky and I used to go quite a bit. And he would come there and be there. We were friends. We loved one another in the Lord and so forth. We had a good relationship. And this man couldn't talk high enough of this man. He didn't pitch him in the hypocrite trash can. He didn't do that. He talked very high because this man lived the life before him. Listen, folks, we need to live the life before everybody. Our children, our wives, our husbands, our aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters. We need to do it. And the reason we can do it is because we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We have the power to do it, praise God. We're not fussing and cussing, but we're living the life daily before the people in Walmart, in Dollar General, in John's or Henry's and Trent's and all these stores and all these businesses and places we go, they look at us. That's a saint. If we don't, they're going to throw us in the hypocrite trash can just like that other guy did. But when he got to a saint, I thought, now what's he going to say? And I was pleased. I was blessed the fact that he didn't throw that brother in the trash can like all the others. He said he lived the life. He lived it the way the Bible teaches it. He done this and he done that. I was blessed by that fact. I'm going to tell you, you are living the congregation is the life of the preaching that goes forth from our pulpits. In other words, we're preaching it, we're teaching it, and you're living it. If you're not living it, it reflects back on the ministry. It reflects back on God, and it does damage. And I've watched it down through the years. And the angle to start with is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the number one. It is basically the number one priority. Love the Lord enough to do it. But do it. Give ourselves totally to God. Here am I, Lord. And you don't want to do it just once, but you want to basically do it daily. It's a daily sanctification. What I mean by that, it's a daily consecration. Maybe I need to put it that way. Once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but you've got to daily keep your consecration up to date. And Paul said that. I die daily, I think he did. And so consequently, we've got to do that. We've got to come to the Lord and we meet up with things and so forth. We can pick things up and go our way. But then we can also keep everything right on the altar and say, yes, Lord, whatever you will be. I wanted to... Well, Brother Egbert called me one time, 1980, 81, 82, and he said, I have a burden to go to Florida. And we'd travel together and work together, and he said, I'd like you to go with me. I said, I can't do it. I've got all these other things in the gospel work I want to do. He got down to begging me. I mean, he was pleading with me. And he got down, and I was so... I guess you say firm. And he could see I wasn't budging one inch. And he finally said, "Brother Carl, will you at least pray about it?" "Will you at least pray about it?" I said, "Yes, Brother Egbert, I'll pray." Well, I had all these things set up, and next thing I started getting phone calls, and everything just started falling apart. Everything I thought I was supposed to do fell apart. And I got to looking, and I thought, well, I'm not going here, 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 here. So I started praying. Well, then the Lord started dealing with me too, if I remember right. And I couldn't get no sleep. I couldn't get no rest. Finally, I fell down on my knees and I said, "Lord, whatever thy will is, I'll do it. Doesn't matter." And he just started working everything out. He put them all in the deal. I called Brother Egbert up and I said, "You ready to go?" "Let's go." I said, "I've got one request. You hadn't mentioned this place here. I've got to go through a place. I've got a burden to go preach to some people." And I said, "We'll go through there on our way to Florida or back from Florida," whatever it was. I said, "Well, that worked. That'll be fine." I had to get to the place where I said, "Lord, whatever your will is. Whatever it is, Lord, I don't care. I just want to do the will of the Lord." Are we at the place where we say, "Lord, thy will be done, whatever it is"? A few weeks before Rebecca died, I was praying for her. I was begging for her healing. I was begging for her life, so to speak. And when I got through, the Lord spoke so plain to me. He said, "What if I want to take her?" And I was totally speechless. I couldn't say a thing, saints. And I said, "Lord, thy will be done." Later, I was praying for Rebecca. And I got to the place where I was almost, well, I was looking in that cup of horror. That cup that the Lord looked in. And I quickly retreated because what I saw was what I've been going through for 8 months, and I backed up quickly. I didn't want to look in that cup at that time. I didn't want to. I had to lay it, I had to put it right there. I had to say, "Lord, thy will be done. This is my wife. You give her to her. She belongs to you. She married to you first. And if you want to take her, that's your business. You've got grace to keep me if you do. Thy will be done." You have to do it daily, saints. You've got to keep this thing up to a daily deal. Sometimes almost a minute deal. Our consecration fresh all the time. But is our priority the same priority with the Lord? He's got these priorities up here. And I don't know how good I'm making this come out, but the bottom line is He's got priorities, and we need to keep our priorities listed right along with Him, have the same burden, the same priority, whereby that the Lord will be blessed and souls will be blessed and the Lord will be glorified and the church will be helped and souls will be helped and people will be blessed, because we've got a priority of doing what God would have us to do. And sanctification is one of them. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is one of them. That's one of the things that must be done. I'm pent up. I want this thing to work right. The Jews have not done what they ought to do. It's been a colossal mess in everything that the Jews done for all these years. And now we've got a new plan, the Father and I. And that plan is that I'm going to ascend and the Holy Ghost is going to descend. And the church of God is going to have power it's never had, praise God. And that power is going to cause you to be able to do what you need to be done. And if it wasn't for that, folks, you and I wouldn't be here tonight. He is the one that has held me and kept me and blessed me all through. There's been times I've been low. There's been times, I'm not talking about the last 8 months. I'm just talking about over a period of time. There's been times it's not been easy. But the Lord always had the power of the Holy Ghost there to help me. And it's been His power that's got me through. It's been His power that has blessed me and worked with me. Oh, tonight, what's our priority? Is our priority being filled with the Holy Spirit? Is our priority, said, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, till you be endued with power from on high"? Is that our priority tonight? Over here in Acts, he was telling them here in the first chapter, and about the seventh, he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Now then, to get this new gospel dispensation going, the church had to do it. And to do it, they had to have something to do it with. And that's what he set up. he set up to take this thing and to run with it. To go with it. To bring it out. To preach it. Oh, they were done all kind of things. But they would not quit. Peter failed before he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He failed. He did not do the way it ought to be. But when he had the power of the Holy Ghost, Peter went on and done everything he was supposed to do. Can you do it? Can you do it? You can with the power of the Holy Ghost, but you've got to have that power. And Jesus' priority, His desire, His everything about Him was to have this. That's His priority tonight. How's your priority? Do you have the same burden? I would love to see the church. We not only need the ministers. I'm going to say something pretty big. I don't know if I've ever said this. If I could resurrect Brother Mark Sammons, his burden tonight, I'd do it. I'd bring him back. I've had people that their companions have gone and said, if I could have them back, I'd have them right now. I'd just take them right now. If they come walking in the door, I'd be so happy that they were here. I want them. If Becky come walking in, I'd shout. But if I could bring Brother Mark's burden, let's say just resurrect his burden. If I could get that burden resurrected and somebody, the Lord would resurrect it and give it to somebody, and we need that burden tonight. We need the burden that he had, the burden to bring this out, the burden to preach it over and over and over and over. And I heard him over and over and over down through the years. He preached it. He laid it out. He was the consecration, sanctification minister among us in my lifetime. The last 42 years that I've been with a saint, he was the one that done it when he was here. And we need that now. We need it more than ever. The Lord still has a burden that away. He still wants that preached that away. He has not lost his priority that the Holy Ghost is what the church needs. That is not what the Lord has just backed off, so to speak, and quit. He is still interested. His priority is for you and I to have that. Where's our priority? How much do we love the Lord tonight? What's our priority in sanctification? Are we where the Lord wants us to be? Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Are we thinking about it? Are we considering it? Have we got battles that we need to get victory? Another angle of this thing that you could look at is the fact that our right priorities is that, like I said, Rebecca was, I want to be sure I can have this exactly where it needs to be. I want healing, Carl. I want to have it. I want to have it, sweetheart. I want it. Whatever you need, Becky, let's do it. That was my priority, to help her to get where I could have my normal life again. And so she said, I want to do this. The Lord says tonight to us that we need to have a priority that if I have any struggles, any battles, any problems, a revival meeting is here to work with that. We're here to take care of that. The Lord is here. The ministers are here to work with you to get the victory you need. But is your priority to get victory, or we just want to kind of sail along? We need victory. If we need it, we need it. We need to get it. Because what we're going through now can only get worse. And there will be a degeneration down if we don't do what we ought to do in a right priority to get everything where it ought to be. Let's have a number, please. Stand and sing. Appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers tonight.